Okay, today's daf is Beitz of Daf Yud Aleph. We left off on the, well, close to the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph. Beis, the Gemara is about to compare when you find a different amount of birds than you had left there on Erev Yantif. The Gemara is going to compare that to leaving Meiser Sheni money and finding a different amount of money when you come back to check it out. So how much do we assume is Meiser Sheni, if any of it, or do we assume it's entirely different money? So we're going to compare those two cases to each other. Then the Gemara in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph is going to explain the chiddush of matzah lefnei hakan asurin. What's the great chiddush in saying that if you leave the birds in one place and then you find birds in another place, that those are assumed not to be the same birds and that they are asur? And then the Gemara is going to explain the chiddush of im ein sham elahein mutarin. What's the chiddush of saying that if these are the only birds in the vicinity, then they're mutar? Of course they're mutar because they must be the same birds. And then the Mishnah is going to record a machlokes between Beisham and Beis Hillel about moving an eli, something that's used to chop meat. So whether we think that a person might decide not to use it in the end, and then it's going to be a tircha shlo letzorech, or we have no such concern. On the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, we're going to go through the parameters of when we can and cannot salt meat, and not worry about the isra of ma'abed on Yantif. And then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about being mesalik trisin on Yantif, moving shutters on Yantif, and the Gemara is going to use that as a springboard to tell us that there are three or perhaps four different activities that Chazal were matir sofan mishum tchilasan, that they allow you to do certain things because they're afraid if they don't allow you to do it, then you're going to refrain from some beneficial activity that we want you to do if we don't allow you to follow through. And then the Gemara is going to just conclude about treason, the halacha lemaisa when it comes to treason, that there are three types of treason and each of them have their own set of halachas. And that's going to take us all the way to Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So let us begin. We left off a little bit into it, but let's pick up again from the last skinny line. So the last skinny line in Daf Yud Amud Beis, Shlosha Matzah Shnayim Mutarin. So it said in the Mishnah that if you had left three birds there and now you come back and there are two birds left, so it is mutter. You assume that the two birds that are left are two of the birds that you had left there the previous day, and one of the birds just went away. So my taima, hani inu ninu v'chad minay l'azili'alma, like we just said, you could assume that these are the same birds, and one of them went off. One of them just went off in its own direction. Fractosos v'chitalina l'kula b'davar sheyesh l'matirin. Are we able to assume l'kula? We don't know that one of them went off. Maybe all three went off, and these are two brand new birds. So why are we being somech l'kula? After all, there's a davar sheyesh l'matirin. Shouldn't this be like a safek davar sheyesh l'matirin, where we should be machmir? So he says v'yishlomer d'hol v'nishru shnayim b'mekomam v'adeh b'chiyay gavna talina l'kula. This isn't a safek. It's not a 50-50 safek. There's if you had three birds there and two birds are still there, there's a better than 50% chance that these two birds are two of the birds that were there yesterday, and therefore we don't treat it like a suffix davar sheyesh l'matirin. And yes, we are even willing to be tola l'kula, even though it's a davar sheyesh l'matirin. So the Gemara says, now this statement of the Mishnah that we can assume that the two birds that are left there are two of the birds that were there from yesterday, lema masnisin rebi hi velo rabbanan. This sounds like the shita of Rebbe and not like the shita of the Rabbanan. Titania, because we have a brisa that goes through machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan, not with the case of birds, but with the case of money. Hiniach mana umatzah masayim. If you leave $100 of Meiser Sheni money, and then you come back the next day and you find extra, you find $200. So chulun Meiser Sheni mu Rav Zabezeh de Rebbe. So Rebbe says the original $100 are still there. That's Meiser Sheni, but the other $100 must be chulun, and therefore it's all mixed together. V'cham marma kol chulun. V'cham say no. You found a different amount of money. The original money that was Meiser Sheni that you left there must be gone. All the money that's here now is Meiser Sheni money. Which parallels our case. If you left a larger amount and you found a smaller amount of money, you left 200 and now you found 100, so mana munach mana mutal divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, yeah, the you left the larger amount and you found the smaller amount. Probably whatever you found is part of what was there yesterday, and the rest of it disappeared somehow. But whatever you found is part of what was there yesterday, which is exactly like we said in our Mishnah. You leave three birds, you find two. So yeah, those two are part of the three that you left yesterday. V'cham omrim, hakol chulin. And the Chum say, no, it's all assumed to be chulin, that these are considered, this is considered to be brand new money. So don't you see that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi and not like the Rabbanan? Says Gemara, no, you don't see that at all. Afilu teim Rabbanan, you could even say the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan. Ha'idmar Allah, Rabbi Yochum, Rabbi Lazar, Damri Tarvayu, shiny gozlos hol vasuin ledados. But birds are different than money because birds move. So since birds move, the Rabbanan are going to say that when it comes to birds, if you find a different amount, we have to assume that the original birds left, that they jumped out of the way, they ran away. Money doesn't run away, so you don't assume that about money. So says Gemara, V'lami l'shniya la shayni gozol sol v'asuyin l'dadus. Why do we even need this answer to justify why our Mishnah could be going like the Rabbanan? There's another explanation why our Mishnah could be going like the Rabbanan. V'yitmar Allah, Tehid Rabbi Yochman Rabbi Lazar, Chadam Rabbi Shnei Kisin Machlokes, Avol B'kis Echa Divrei Akol Chulin, V'chadam Rabbi Kis Echa Machlokes, Avol B'shnei Kisin Divrei Akol Manamunach Manamutal. We have a Machlokes Amarayim, what the Machlokes Tanayim was about. Was the Machlokes Tanayim about when there were two separate wallets of money, but if it was one wallet of money that you had left there, then everyone would agree this is a different set of money and everything is chulin? Or do we assume, no, that the Machlokes is when it was a single wallet, but when it was two separate wallets, everyone would agree, mana munach, mana mutal. Everyone would agree that if you left two wallets there, each with $100, and you find one wallet the next day with $100, that wallet was one of the wallets from yesterday. Everyone would agree to that. So if everyone would agree to that, so don't you see that that even the Rabbanan could be the author of our Mishnah? Because two birds is like two wallets. So even the Rabbanan would agree that if there were two wallets, one of them, that the one that you find is one of the original ones, so by the two birds also, the Rabbanan would say that if you left three birds and you find two birds there, that these are two of the original ones. So Bishlam, Nadir Mishnei Kisim Achlokes, Hainu Disrach Lushnei Hachashayni Gozal Salvasin Ladados. Now if you assume like the Lashon that says that the Machlokes was when there were two wallets, so I understand why the only way to justify how the Rabbanan could be the author of our Mishnah was by saying that birds are different than money. El Madir Mishnei Kisim Achlokes, but if you say the only Machlokes was when it was one wallet, which does not have a parallel apparently in the case of birds, avol b'shnei kisin divrei akol manamunach manamutal. But if it's two wallets, which parallels perfectly our case of birds, everyone would agree manamunach manamutal, that what you find is one of what was there yesterday. Then hashalam l'shnei Allah hamr b'shnei kisin lo pligi. Why do you need to give any terutzim? By shnei kisin there is no machlokas. Everyone agrees this is one of the ones that was there from yesterday. So by the number of birds also, everyone would agree these are the some of the birds that were there from yesterday. Now we're dealing with the case of birds that is not like two wallets. The case of birds that are tied together, which is much more similar to one wallet. And when we say one wallet, we don't really mean one wallet. We mean two wallets that are tied together. So if we're going to say that that's the machlokas that the machlokas in the Mishnah, that our machlokas by the birds is even when they are mekusharim, is even when they're tied together, so then we're going to need to be mitarets how the Rabbanan could be going like our Mishnah. So gozlos minat, and that's what we answer, that the way the Rabbanan could be going like the Mishnah is that gozlos minatchi adadi kisin lo minatchi adadi, that gozlos move, birds move around, so they might become detached from each other, but wallets don't jump around, so they're not going to become detached from each other. V'Rebbe Amarlach, and Rebbe would respond, Kisenamni zimnin de mesachel kitrayu, that by wallets also, sometimes the knot becomes loose, and they therefore become detached from each other. So one of the wallets that you find, may be one of the wallets that was left here from the previous day. Fine. So betoch hakana muscle fnei hakana sur. The Mishnah said that if you have left the birds in the kan and then you find them in front of the kan, so it's asur. These are a totally new set of birds. So says more, a totally new set of birds. Wait a second. These are found very close to the place where you left the birds yesterday. So granted that rove of the birds in the world were not the birds that you left inside the nest yesterday, but these are. But certainly closeness would suggest that these are the birds you left yesterday. This seems to be a riot, Rabbi Chanina, that Rov Vakarov Halachacha Rov, that you would follow the majority, you would not follow proximity. So this is a good riot to Rabbi Chanina's Shita. Says Gemara Amar Abaye, Bedaf. Abaye says, no, we're dealing with the case of a daf, which we explained yesterday, according to the way Rashi explains it, is that that there is no karov by a daf. Everything is karov. So the only thing you have to look at is rov. So that's why we follow the rov over here, because there is no karov. Where does it come from in the Torah that we would follow karov? We know rov is achri ram lahatos. Where does it say in the Torah that you follow karov? So that's from the parsha of Egla Arufa, the concept of karov. They find a mace between Shnei Ayaros, and you don't know which city he comes from. So we measure the two cities, and you find, and the closer one is the city whose base it has to deal with the Egla Arufa procedure. That's the din of karov. So the question is that just a din by Egla Arufa? So clearly, Rabbi Chanina is understanding not that way. He's understanding when there is no rov, and that's how the sugya in the second paragraph of Basra assumes. When there is no rov, we do follow karov as a mevarer to figure out what happened when there is no rov. Question is, if rov is a better mevarer, so that's Rabbi Chanina's mechadish, that rov v'karov halachach and rov is a better mevarer. Rav Zilberstein has a chashuk echemet about a bal tshuva from Chutz La'aretz who came to Eretz Yisrael, and he knows that in his community that he grew up in, there were two moelim in his community. There was an Orthodox moel and there was a Reform moel. And he asked his mother, "Do you remember who did my bris milah?" And she said, "I don't remember. It was one of the rabbis. It was either the Reform one or the Orthodox one." But she has no recollection of who his moel was. Allah and Shulchan Aruch and Yardes and Reish Samachal Sif Aleph is Ovid Chav Mafilu Hu Moel Lo Yimol Klal. A guy cannot do a milah. V'imol Ain Tzarich Lachsov Lim. But the Rama says Yeshom dechayav lachzol hatav menudam bris. They have to be the matav menudam bris, even if he already did the mila. And a mumar lekol haTorah kula or mumar laarelus has a din of novid chavim legabe mila. So from the Rama, it sounds like if the moel was the wrong moel, the guy's going to need hatavas dam bris. So Zilberstein points to our sugya rov v'kor of holchemachar rov. But he says if you have b'makom mesuyam, if you have in a specific place a rove, we follow the rove of that place. That's in Choshen Mishpat, in some Ration and Test, Sivav, if the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if you have a place that's Ruban Ovde Kochavim, but Rov Tabachim are Yisrael, most of the butchers are Jews, so a Behema O'ov, Hanimsa Shom Shachut, Mutter, because you go with Rov butchers, not Rov of the people. So here as well, Rov of the Moalim in the world are Orthodox Moalim, the Rov Mitsuyam. We do have such a chazak, such a rov, the rov mitzvah neitzel mila mumchenheim, but over here in this place, it's 50-50, it's not a rov. So maybe we can't follow the rov ha'olam, it's a suffix shakel, and then maybe we have to deal with whatever we would say by a suffix shakel. But he says that lemaisa, that even in this place, we could be told that he was nimal al yidei akasher, because even though there are two mo'olim, maybe we go basa rov brisos, and probably the Orthodox Moel gets a lot more business than the Reform Moel, so maybe we go about sort of the rove of the amount of brisos that are done, and that's done al yidei the kasher. He says you find such a thing in Tosfos and Pesachim Dav Zayin Amud Aleph that most shenimtzel lefnei sochrei behema are liola meiser, because rove of the people who buy behemos in Yerushalayim use meiser sheni money to buy the behemos. So Tosfos says, but wait a second, maybe the money fell from the mocher, not from the lokeach, and once the money was given to the mocher behemos, it's no longer meiser sheni money, it's already chulin money. So Tosfos says, yeah, but rove of the people that frequent the store, that frequent the shop, are lokchim. So because a lot of people will go to buy one animal, so therefore it's you could assume that it's mostly meiser sheni. So who had in over here? Rove of the people that come to get a mila are come to lomel bekashrus. So you could assume that this was nivel bekashrus as well. That's what Zilberstein says in this case. So another unique example of rov vikarov. So the Gemara says, so you see that this is going like Rabbi Chanina Sabai says, no, there is no karov over here. There's only rov. Rava Amar, Rava says, Meshe kanazulim al mizu askin. And we're dealing with two nests, one on top of the other. Velomi vayizimin v'tachton v'lo zimin b'alion v'matzu v'tachton v'lo matzu b'alion v'da sirin darminin hanachazul alma v'anachshtar v'vishtar v'nachus. And not only are we talking about a case where you were mazmin the birds in the lower nest and not in the upper nest, and then you went and found birds in front of the lower nest, where clearly they easily could have fallen from the upper nest and ended up in front of the lower nest, and therefore those birds would be muktzah. Ela filu zimin v'alion v'lo zimin v'tachtona. But even if you designated the birds in the upper nest and not in the lower lower nest. Ubau matzu be'aliona, and then you came and you found birds in front of the upper nest. V'lo matzu be'tachton, you didn't find in the lower nest. Hanach nami asiri, even those you assume are aser, even though birds don't fall from the bottom nest to the top nest. Dabrinan hanach hazlam v'hanach sruchis harachusliku, because we still make the assumption that the ones from the upper nest that you originally were mazman and erev yantiv went away, and the ones that you found in front of the upper nest now are the ones from the bottom nest, and they just jumped up a little bit. Then the Mishnah said, but if these are the only birds in town, these are the only ones in the vicinity, then they're mutter, because you could assume that these are the same birds. Say, Chidami, what's the case? If we're talking about birds that are able to fly, so what do you mean these are the only ones in town? Birds can fly into town, so that how do you know that these are the same birds? Birds could have flown in from far away. No, we're talking about birds that cannot yet fly. They just hop around. So then, well, then if there's a nest within 50 amos that they could have come from, so good. So then they could have come from that other nest. And if there's no kan within 50 amos, well, then of course it's mutter. They can't come from anywhere else, because birds that don't fly don't travel more than 50 amos. After all, Maruk v'Bar Chama taught us that a bird that hops only hops 50 amos and no further. So obviously, if the birds are only hopping and there's nothing within 50 amos, you need to tell me that these are the same birds. Of course they're the same birds. A bird can't hop further than this. This was the case in the Gemara in the second paragraph of Basra, where Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the Shaila, what if the bird has 1 foot within 50 amos and 1 foot over the 50 amos line? And the Gemara says, Val daf kula Rabbi Yirmiyah be midrasha. They threw him out of the base medrash for asking such a ridiculous question. So what's so ridiculous? Doesn't sound so ridiculous. So Rashi explained, no, what was ridiculous about it is that that's further than 50 amos. So what he was trying to challenge, are you sure it's 50 amos, not 51 amos, not 49 amos? How do you know? So no, kol shiri chacham kenu. When the chacham give a shir, that's the shir. Person can't eat, 90% of a kazayas and say, come on, does God really know the difference? Does it really make a difference if it's a little less than a kazayas, a little more? When we have a shir, it's a shir. So you go with whatever the shir is. So the chacham or mishar that it's 50 amos, it's 50 amos. And 50 amos and a half is more than 50. So we assume it can't, it's unable to do that. So it says, there is another bird nest within 50 amos, and these birds cannot fly, but we assume that and a bird can hop up until 50 amos, but this bird nest is out of view of the other one. Where we found the bird, it's out of view of the other bird nest. So one might have thought that it still could have hopped because it's within 50 amos. Now, the way birds work, the hopping birds work, is that they'll only continue to hop on if they could still see where their home is. If they can't see their home, it's around the corner, then they won't go any further. They're not going to go beyond where they can see their house, so their point of origin. So that's why we can assume that these must be entirely different birds. Tulsa just points out, it's a little unusual. The Gemara is asking in Kasha on our Mishnah that our Mishnah is Pshita, because after all, Mar Ukva Bar Chama tells us that a bird can't travel more than 50 amos. Well, Mar Ukva Bar Chama is an Amora. Since when do we ask kashas on the Mishnah based on something that an Amora says? So Tosfos says, yeah, but it's a strong Amora, because Al Karchan Utzrichel Nomar Kedemar Ukva Dim Lokein Lo Metukim Asnisan Delo Yachbar. There's a Mishnah in Bava Basra that cannot be explained without Mar Ukva. So Mar Ukva was revealing to us that which the Mishnah clearly meant in Maseches Bava Basra, because the Mishnah Maseches Bava Basra talks about 50 amos as being a critical distance for a bird. So Mar Ukva just explained that's because birds only travel within 50 amos of their home when they can't yet fly. But that's it's he was just expressing what is mevuar in a Mishnah in Maseches Bava Basra. Okay, new Mishnah. Beishami Omer Mei Notan Asa Eli Lekatziv LaBasra Beisil Matirin. Beishami says you're not allowed to take the Eli to chop meat on this big block of wood to chop meat on. And Beisil says, because Rashi says, because it's Melachto LeIsser. It's Klisha Melachto LeIsser. But Beisil says that it's mutter. You're allowed to do. Beishami Omer, so Tosa says, well, wait a second. Klisha Melachto LeIsser, why would Beishami have any problem with that? It's a Tzorach Gufal. The halach is a Klisha Melachto LeIsser. You're allowed to be metaltel LeTzorach Gufal LeTzorach Mekomo. So what's the issue over here? So it says, Tosa says, Yeshlom Deperikol HaKeim Mukminin Le B'Muktzah Sheish B'Chesrom Kis. We're assuming that this is not just klishim lachdalisser, but it's something you would never use for any other purpose, lest you ruin it, and that's called muksamach v'scheshrom kis. The kuli alma modu da aser, where everyone's modu the muksamach v'scheshrom kis is aser. We just discussed recently that muksamach v'scheshrom kis, like a cell phone, might be a klishim lachdalisser, but if it's a very expensive cell phone that you would never use as a paperweight, that you would never use for anything else, so then it would probably be muksamach v'scheshrom kis. Kugon sikhe ziri mazuri de kapti alayu, ubeisil shematirin, hainu da. Wait a second, if it's Muktzmach v'scheshrom kis, then why is Beis Hillel matir? Muktzmach v'scheshrom kis should be a problem according to Beis Hillel. Why is Beis Hillel matir? So he says, yeah, for Simchas Yantav, Beis Hillel was willing to be matir, even Muktzmach v'scheshrom kis. Magen Avraham in Simtav Kuf Tes, if Katan Tes Vav wonders about this, tells us based on what it says there in Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to be metaltal Muktza on Yantav for the sake of Ochel Nefesh and for the sake of Simchas Yantav. But Shimush b'Muktza is different. And over here, it's not just being metaltal muktzah, over here they're being meshami, they're using this eli, the katziv lav basar, to chop meat on. So it's, if it's muktzah v'scheshrom kis, yes, we're makel to be metaltal muktzah v'scheshrom kis for the sake of yantiv, but not to be meshamish but muktzah v'scheshrom kis for the sake of yantiv. So the Magen Avraham says that which they're matir to be metaltal eli, the katziv lav basar, it's because it's a kli. But he doesn't explain what he means by that. So what? It's a kli. It's muktzah v'scheshrom kis. So Machzah Shekel explains that obviously if it's a kli shlam lach d'lisser, then it's vade not a problem, because kli shlam lach d'lisser, you're not a mitzvah sor gufo. But what he means to say is that even if it's muktzah v'scheshrom kis, but since I'll call panim, it has a shame kli, it's a lower level muktzah v'scheshrom kis. That we often think of kli shlam lach d'lisser as one level of muktzah, and muktzah v'scheshrom kis is a more severe level of muktzah. He said, no, not necessarily. Said, there could be something else in between. There could be a muktzah v'scheshrom kis that's also a kli. So that's somewhere in between a kli shlam lach d'lisser, which you could just be metaltal tzarek gufo, and muktzah v'scheshrom kis, which you're not allowed to be mishamish at all, even for some simchas yantiv. So this in between status of a kli shlam lach of a muktzah v'scheshrom kis that has a shame kli, maybe you're allowed to be mishamish for the sake of simchas yantiv. That's how the Machzah Shekel explains what the Magen Avraham is trying to say. Another machlokes in the Mishnah. Beshamir says not allowed to put the hide of an animal in front of people who are going to trample on it. You're not allowed to lift it up unless it has a kazayis basar attached. Shmuel Beis Hillel says mutter. So Tana v'shavin shem katzav alav basar v'shasal l'tatlo. Everyone agrees that if you have chopped meat on this eli, then you're not allowed to be metaltal anymore. Amar Abay machlokas be'eli avul betaver garmi divrei akol mutter. Another kli that they use for chopping meat that they call a bone breaker, a tavra garmi, everyone agrees is mutter. So says Mar, of course, pshita, eli tanan. It only says about an eli that it's aser. So of course, tavra garmi is going to be mutter. No, ma'al detem hua din dafilu tavra garmi nami. I might have thought tavra garmi is also aser. Vadik tani eli lo deach kochad beisil dafilu dover shamlach v'lisr nami sharu. And the fact that it speaks about an eli is to tell us how serious beisil is, that even something that's malach to the iser beisil is going to be matir. Kamash mulan, that's why he has to tell me that tarva garmi is mutter. Ikadamri amar abaye lo nitzcha l'afilu. Others say that the way Abaye answered the question, that after all it's pshita, it doesn't say tarva garmi in the Mishnah, is that he said lo nitzcha l'afilu tarva garmi chadati. Now the chiddush is that even a tarva garmi, a brand new tarva garmi, ma'adatem mimluch lo tavrla, I might think that there's a greater concern by a brand new one that you might decide not to use it, because every time, the first time you use it, you feel a little bad because you're ruining its newness. So if it's a used one, then you're going to use it. But basically, we'll say that maybe if it's a brand new one that you shouldn't be allowed to be metaltal to the Tavra Garmi either, because we're afraid that it's going to be a total shalol tzarech, because you're going to change your mind. Kamash Mulan, therefore we're told that we're not concerned you're going to change your mind. So frankly, Gemara, but Beis Shammai is not even concerned by the Eli that you're going to change your mind. Beis Shammai, is Beis Shammai not worried that a person is going to change his mind and not use it, and then it's therefore going to be a total shalol tzarech? V'atanya, Beis Shammai armen malichin tabach v'sakin etzel behem avlo behem etzel tabach v'sakin. You shouldn't bring a tabach and a knife, a butcher and a knife to the behema, nor the behema to the butcher and the knife. And Beis Hillel says you can bring them to each other. Beis Shammai says you can't bring the spices to the grinder or the grinder to the spices. And Beis Hillel says you can bring them to each other. Why is it that Beis Shammai says you can't bring these things to each other? Because it could turn out that you're going to bring them near each other and then you're going to decide, nah, I don't want to do it. You're going to change your mind. And then it will all turn out to be a tiltal shalol tzarech. So you see, Beis Shammai is worried about imluche, that a person person might change his mind, decide not to go through with it. So Akum over here, he's not worried about it. So says Mara Hachi Ashto, you can't compare the two cases. Bishlam behemasi limluchi dar nishpakai behema kachusha umaisina behema achrita deshmeinu mina. When it comes to behema, you might change your mind and say, you know what? Not interested in shechting this behema because this behema is a little shvach. Let me find a better one. Kedera nami asim luchi dar nishpakai kedera de bayitavlin umaisina achrita dlo bayitavlin. A pot of food also. You might say, you know what? Why use this pot of food? There's another one that doesn't even need spicing. That's already more delicious. I'll go take that one. But over here, we're dealing with dead meat already. What are we worried about? Mimach v'lo tavar. Well, you're not going to do anything with the meat. You're just going to let it spoil. And no, kibun d'shachtel l'tzvira kaima. Once it's already shachted, of course you're not going to just let it go to waste. Of course you're going to do something with it. You're not going to go replace it with another animal when this meat is dead already, when this meat is shachted already. And that's why Beishami is not worried in our case that you can come to change your mind. Beishami said, you're not allowed to put the hide in front of people to step on. So Tana Beishavin Shemolchon of Basel Itzli. Everyone agrees that you're allowed to put enough salt on it to roast the meat. How much salt do you need to roast to be able to roast meat? How much salting needs to be done? The answer is none. The halacha is that no malicha is required when you roast meat. So Tosfos points out, yeah, but they would put salt in because it tastes better. So that's but it wasn't the amount of salting that we would call Malicha. So that much you're allowed to do. That's not like ma'abed. You don't have to worry. That's considered to be ma'abed. If it's the amount of salt that you would need to do malicha halachically to cook meat in a pot, that you would not be allowed to do. So says Mar Pshita Litzli Tanan. Of course you would not be allowed to do that. It says Litzli. It says not enough to for kedera, just for roasting. Even Litzli Kain kedera is going to be aser. Meaning even if you're just putting a lot of salt on meat that you plan on roasting, even that's aser. Tan Rabban, Ein Molchanas Hachalavim Vein Mahapchen Behen Mishum Rabbi Shua Amru Shotchem Bruach Al Gabi Yisedos. You're not allowed to salt meat and salt fats, and you're not allowed to flip them. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, you're allowed to put them up on the pegs and allow them to air out on the pegs. Amr Rav Masa Alach Rabbi Yeshua. So Rav Masa says we pass on Rabbi Yeshua. That's not a gzera Mishum Ma'abed. You're allowed to put them up on pegs. Ikad Amri Amr Rav Masa Ein Alach. Others say that Rav Masna holds that we don't pass like Rav Yeshua. So Bishlam L'man Yamar Alach Rav Yeshua Itzrich Salka Daidich Amini Yachid Rav Malach Rav Mekamash Malach Malach Kiyachid. I would understand why Rav Masna would need to tell me that we pass like Rav Yeshua, because I would have assumed not to pass like Rav Yeshua since he's a Das Yachid. So you need to tell me, no, over here we do pass like the Das Yachid. L'man Yamar Ein Alach, but if you say that the Alach is not like Rav Yeshua, Pshita Yachid Rav Malach Rav. Of course Alach is not like Rav Yeshua. Why would you assume that I would think otherwise? Why would you need to tell me that we don't pass Rabbi Yeshua? He's a das yachid. So mal de tema mistaver taimi de Rabbi Yeshua di lo sharis le mimna v'lo shachid kamash blan. Now I might have thought that Rabbi Yeshua is more mistaver, that even though he's a das yachid, but he makes more sense, because if we don't allow a person to at least put the hide of the animal up on pegs, or the fats of the animal up on pegs, then a person might refrain from doing shechita in the first place. It's going to shter as simplis yantiv. So I would think Rabbi Yeshua is right about that. So kamash blan that no, we don't pass on Rabbi Yeshua. Umayshna me or lefnei adarson. Why is it that Beis Hillel allowed putting the hide of the animal in front of people to trample on? Why is that any different than what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, where we're not paskening like Rabbi Yeshua for some reason? Rabbi Yeshua is saying that that you're allowed to take the chalev and put it up on these pegs. What's the difference? Sans the Gemara, hasam lo milcha mishum dechazi lemizgavei. Over there, when you put it in front of people who are going to trample on, it's not so obvious what you're trying to do, that you're trying to do ma'abed, because it's the hide can be used to lean on, to sit on, like we saw that Rashi about Haseba, that they would sit on these mats. But over here, what's going to happen if you allow the guy to hang the fats on these pegs? He's going to say, oh, why am I allowed to do this? I'm allowed to do this so that it doesn't spoil, that it doesn't turn bad. Well, there are two ways to prevent spoilage. You could hang it on pegs and let it air out, or you could salt it. So I might as well salt it. So he's going to come to salt it, and that's going to be a violation of ma'abed. Amr Rabbi Dom Rav Shmuel, Malech Adam Kama Chatichas Basar Bebas Achas Afu Bishen Tzorech Al Chaticha Achas. A person can salt multiple cuts of meat at one time, even though he only needs one. Rav Ad Barava Maru Mumalach Garma Garma. Rav Ad Barava would take one piece at a time and say, maybe I'll use this one, and then he would salt that, and then decide not to use it. Maybe I'll use this one, and then he would salt that, and that way he was doing this harama in order to be able to get as many pieces of meat pieces of meat as he could, even though he wasn't going to use all of them. So these are two different etzas of what to do, two different types of haramos. Rabbi Dor Shmuel says to do many pieces of meat bebas achas, even though you only need one. Rav Ad Barava to do chaticha achar chaticha, just after you salt one of them, saying, yeah, I'm not in the mood to eat this one, maybe I'll eat the other one. So there are three shitos in the Rishonim as to whether they are arguing over here, and if they're arguing, what the machlokas is. So Meiri quotes one yesh mefarshim that Shmuel is more machmir, that he's only matir bebas achas. That's where you're allowed to do more than you need. But once you've already done one, he would not allow Rav Ad Barava's trick, that once you've already done one, to go and salt another one. Then there's another yesh mefarshim. Bach assumes to be shitas the Rif and shitas harash and shitas Rashi, that the Amorim aren't arguing. Shmuel saying dafka basachas, that's kishenishkta behema and erev yantif, where there's no heter to do malich ba'arama. Ravada who's matir ba'arama b'zeachar zeh, that's when the behema was shechted on yantif, that if you're not going to allow him to do this harama, then the meat will spoil, and then in the future he's not going to shecht the meat, he's not going to shecht meat at all, and it's going to be mevatel simchas yantif. Then the Meiri quotes the yesh mefarshim that they are arguing, and Shmuel's more makel, that basachas, when he says basachas, he means b'zeachar zeh below hefsik. But basachas means that one right after the other without stopping in between. That's what basachas means. And even if he decided that he's going to eat one of them, he's allowed to continue being malech, all of them, doing malech on all of them, below, as long as it doesn't pause, as long as it doesn't stop. Ravad is more machmir. He says, no, we're only mater ali de harama, where you can actually talk yourself into saying that, no, I'm not going to use this. So you actually have to change your mind and say that after you do malech on one of them, you're masiach das from it, and you have in mind to eat a different one. So it turns out that Shmuel is the more makel opinion. Those are three approaches to understanding this. These two Amoraim. Okay, new Mishnah. Beshami Omer Mein Misalkin Es Hatrisin B'Yontov Ubeisil Matir Naflachsi. Beshami says you're not allowed to remove the shutters on Yontov. Beisil says not only are you allowed to remove them, you're even allowed to put them back when you don't need them anymore. My Trisin Amrul Atrisin Chanuyos. It's the shutters in front of stores that they would use to put out their wares to sell things. So Vamrul Lashlosh Shvar Mitir Sof Mishum Tchilasan. Ula says we find three things where we say Hitiru when we allow something to be done because we're afraid if you don't do it, then you're going to refrain from something else that's going to be very important to do earlier on in the process. And they are ve'eluhein or lefnei adarson, putting the hide in front of the people to trample on. If we don't allow that, then people are not going to shech the animal in the first place, and it's going to ruin the Simchas Yantif. Utrisei Chanuyos, by the Trisei Chanuyos as well. If we don't allow you to put back the Trisei Chanuyos, the person's not going to take them down in the first place to make his stuff available on Yantif. The way it used to work is that people would put their stuff out, and other people would come and take them and pay them after Yantif for it. So we want that stuff to be available so people can enjoy Yantif. The Chazaris Ritiyah B'Migdash. And third case is putting back a bandage in the Beis HaMikdash, a medicated bandage on a wound, that a kohen's allowed to put one back because otherwise we're afraid he's never going to take it off in the first place. It's going to be chatzitza, he's not going to be able to do the avoda. So in order to be matir, in order to encourage him to take off the bandage, we say, don't worry, you'll be able to put it back on soon. V'rachva Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and Rachva Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Avo Paseh Chaviso Maskel B'Yisaso Al Gabe Aregel, that even if it was around Yantif time, it was, let's say, within a few days of Yantif, and there's a Dafyomi coincidence of the day, it's within a few days of Yantif, and you opened up a barrel to start selling wine, and the halacha is around Yantif, we assume Amei Aretz are not metame anything, that Amei Aretz are metare themselves for Regel, and we're makel for the sake of making things available on Regel, that Amei Aretz do not cause your barrel to become tame. So you sold Tamarat, everyone's been touching the wine in this barrel, and you have a half a barrel left when Yantif comes. So now do you assume going forward that it's going to be tame? So Valib Rav Yehuda Damar Yigmar, Rav Yehuda holds no, you could be gomer that barrel and assume that it's not tame. You could sell it to chaverim. You don't have to. You could assume that it's not tame. So you see clearly that that's because of itiru sof mishum tchilasan. So he's being mechadesh that we're afraid that if we were to not declare it to be tahar, then a person would never open up the barrel in the first place and start selling the wine before yantif. We want people to want to sell before yantif, to make this stuff available before yantif, so people could have a sense of simchas yantif. Now the general concept of itiru sof mishum tchilasan Rasan is huge in halacha when it comes to doctors that respond to calls on Shabbos and Hatzalah members. The big heter that we have for Hatzalah members to come back after they respond to a call is Yitzius of Mishum Tchlasan. If they know that every time they respond to a call, they're not going to be able to come back on Shabbos, so the concern is, Ramesh writes in the Tshuva, that they're not going to be as eager to respond. You know, they'll more easily talk themselves into it not being an emergency and not really being necessary if they know that they're going to miss the rest of Shabbos with their families and they're not going to be able to come back. Mm-hmm. So that's a heter, that in order to Yitzius of Mishum Tchlasan, let them come back, because otherwise they're not going to go in the first place. Rav Eliyashiv in his Ha'aros over here on Maseches Beitza says that whenever we find Yitzius Sof Mishum Tchlasan, it's only by Nisan Drabanan. Magen Avraham says, Magen Avraham points this out, and Rav Eliyashiv says, based on that, a doctor who goes for Atzelus Nefashos has no heter to come back in his car on Shabbos, because that's Nisan Daraisa to drive back. And even something that's only Asur Midrabanan, it's Asur Lelachsar, because the whole time we find that Yotzen Lahatzil and Chachama Habal Liyalid is mutter to come back, where we find that you're allowed to return from life-saving missions, that's only if you're doing it voluntarily, where you're not getting paid, and we're afraid you're not going to want to do it next time. But a doctor who gets paid for their work, so you don't have to worry that they're not going to want to do it the next time, they're still going to want to be employed, they're still going to be paid for the work. So in Eretz Yisrael, they follow Rav Eliyashiv Shita, which is Rav Shlomo Zalman Shita, if I'm not mistaken, much more machmir view on when you are and are not allowed to respond to come back from life saving missions on Shabbos. Bir Alacha sounds this way a little bit. In Tavkot Tavat says that when Anshei Chevra Kadisha come, we get paid, do we allow them to come back on Yantif as well? Bir Alacha says maybe not. Maybe the whole idea is only if they're not getting paid. Then we're going to assume it to yourself Mishum Tchilasan. So anyway, the Gemara questions each of these examples. Arluf Nei Adarsan Tanina. Why do you have to tell me the case of Arluf Nei Adarsan? That's a Beferish Mishnah that Arluf No, we might not have understood what the logic was, though. We might have assumed that the reason you're allowed to put the Ar Lifnei Adarsan is because you're able to use these as mats. And therefore, even if it was Shechter and Erev Yantif, you're allowed to put out these hides. Kamash Malani, Tirusof Mishum Tchlasan. That's why he has to tell me, that's the Chiddush of Ula, that it's because of Yitirus of Mishum Tchilasan, and not because it's Chazil Mizgah Alayu. The Yom Tov in, the Erev Yom Tov Lo, and therefore it can only be Behemel Shechtanan Yantav, not Erev Yantav. Trisei Chanuyas Nami Tanina, the window shutter case, we also learned in the Mishnah, Beisil Matirin Aflachzir, it's our Mishnah that Beisil allows even putting it back. What's the Chiddush over here? So Mal Detema Time, Mal Beisil Mishum Dein Binyan Bekelem, Vein Stira Bekelem. Now one might have thought that their logic for Beisil is that there's no Binyan or Stira Bekelem, Vafil Debatim Nami, and therefore even if a house is treason, you could also put back. Kamash Malani, Tirusof Mishum Tchilasan, the Chanuyasin, the Batim Lo. That's why it has to tell me, no, it's all, the whole Svar is based on the Tirusof Mishum Tchilasan, and therefore it's only for a store and not for a house, because for a store, we assume there's a great need for Simchas Yantiv, but not by a house. Chazar Shvatiya B'Mikdash Nami Tanina. Well, we learned the case of placing a bandage as well. Maxim Ratiya B'Mikdash Avalo B'Medina. So Gemara says, no, Mal Detay Matayim Mayim Mishum Dein Shvos B'Mikdash, Afilu Koin Delav Baravod. I might have thought that the reason we allow replacing a bandage is not because of Yitirusof Mishum Tchilasan, simply because Ein Shlus B'Migdash, there's no Yisrim Drabban in the Migdash, and therefore even if the Kohen doesn't need to do the Avoda, or he's not able to do the Avoda, he could still be he could still return a bandage on Yantiv Kamash Malan, therefore comes to tell me, no, it's based on Yitirusof Mishum Tchilasan, the Bar Avoda in, the Lav Bar Avoda Lo, and therefore it has to be a Kohen who's a Bar Avoda that we're going to allow to do it. A Kohen is not a Bar Avoda, we were not allowed to do it. So that's the Chiddush. Poseches chaviso nami tanina. Well, the case of opening a barrel, we also learned beferish in the Mishnah. Ha-poseches chaviso maskul bisasal gav regel, Rabbi Yehuda omer yigmar v'chamram lo yigmar. If you assume like Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to finish up the barrel that you started, even though Amei Aretz touched it. It's beferish in the Mishnah. Why does Ula need to tell me? Yitirusov mishum tchilasov. So mal detay matumas Amei Aretz beregel kitarish of your Rabbanin. Now, I might have thought that the reason we're mekel is not because of Yitirusov mishum tchilasan, but the reason Rabbi Yehuda's mekel is because because we treat Amei Ha'aretz as if they are 100% tahar around the time of the regel. And therefore, even if you didn't start a barrel, that's why it comes to tell me, no, it's all based on the tirusof mishum tchilasan. Hischil in, lo hischil lo. It's only if you started the barrel, not if you didn't. V'ula my time lo amar ha. Why didn't Ula give that fourth example of opening up the barrel? So beplukta lo kamari. He doesn't want to get involved in things that are machlokas tonight. He just takes examples of things that no one ever argues about. What? All three of his examples were things that people argue about. Hanuklami, plukta ninhu. Every single one of them was machlokas besham and besilel. So he says, no, that besham besilel is different. Besham makom besilel ain't a mishnah. Besham makom besilel is considered ain't a mishnah, and therefore they are not good examples of something that people argue about. What do we mean besham makom besilel ain't a mishnah? I believe the Chavis Yair writes that when we say Rashi writes in Masechet Brachos that it's not together. Safek it's considered to be a vade. Chavis Yair writes in Shuvah Siman Tzadi Dalid based on the Gemara in Erevin that a baskel came out and said that Allah is besilel b'chol makom. So since besilel is not only a rove but it's also a baskel, normally when you have a machlokas Rabin versus Yachid, so it's Mishnah. It's both Shitos count, which is we paskin like the Rabin. But when you have a Rabin plus a Baskol, it's a big Chiddush, because he's saying that even though Ein Mashkich and Baskol, it doesn't mean we don't listen to a Baskol at all. A Baskol could strengthen, Tosus writes this in the 10th paragraph of Pesachim. If you have an existing Shita, a Baskol can, a Shita we already paskin like, a Baskol can strengthen that Shita that we already paskin like, and make it even an even stronger Shita, and make the other Shita in a Mishnah. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.